Monday, June 23rd, 2014. As is our custom for many years, I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor Council in the presiding role of prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And as a usual custom, we'll first do approval of minutes. Most recent sessions. First is the approval of the regular session minutes of June 9th.
I want to make a correction. On page 2, the 1-3rd paragraph down, it says, Council Member Lynch spoke out against the recent spending activity in the general fund. I think that's a misstatement of what I said. I think what I was alluding to were the two large increases I saw in the proposed FY15 budget to the tune of $400,000 from 2 weeks prior to the budget that we approved. $200,000 increase in prior year surplus and another $200,000 that reduced our contingency in the general fund down to $7,500.
Can you redo that, and then I tell you if you're talking.
I can email you what I said.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be fine. Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense. Okay. Any other corrections or additions to the minutes of June 9th? Do you have a motion to approve?
Move to approve as corrected.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the regular session council minutes of Monday, June 9th, 2014, as corrected by Council Member Lynch. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
I abstain. No one here.
Okay. Minutes then are approved by a vote of 4-0 with Council Member Purnell abstaining. Next is the executive session minutes for Monday, June 9th.
Motion to approve.
And we have a motion to approve the executive session minutes of June 9th by Council Member Brittingham. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Take that as a 5-0.
No, 4. I want to hear you.
We have 4-0. All right. You find the minutes very thorough. You can do that. The reason we did have an executive session on June 9th was to consult with our counsel, legal counsel, to obtain legal advice, to consult with staff, consultants, or other individuals depending on potential litigation. Number 2 on our agenda tonight is a request for a special event, the Berlin Sidewalk Sale. Someone's here for making that presentation. He'll come forward, and even though very well known in the community, just identify yourself and who's representing all that.
Debbie Freeney with Victorian Charm, and we're just asking for the street closure for the sidewalk sale, same as every other year we've done it. What we do is the 2 blocks, but we only close it if needed. It depends on who's participating, and I apologize. I was out of town last week, and I just found out about tonight, so I didn't have a chance to call everybody and find out who would be participating. But
and we're basically talking about
It's the area from...
From Main Street?
Towns, or was it Toy Town, up to us.
Okay.
Up to Commerce Street. Commerce Street and Pitt Street are left open, obviously, because of the bank. And then from Taylor Bank to Range Reef.
Okay.
Those two areas.
So it's two different islands.
Right.
But both of them, you're able to pass through the intersection.
Right, right.
If you're in a vehicle.
Right.
And it's the same as last year and previous years.
Yes. Yes, we already got the state approval.
There's nothing in the area from Jefferson Street.
The hotel and town center
you know,
and Teague.
I'm thinking like where the nest is, mm-hmm. if there's anything in there.
You know, we would close
or
that.
Or maybe even the visitor center.
The reason that that
you
section
have to go
is
all
always.
The way down
yeah.
To the toilet.
Now they could, you know, if I went, I would encourage it. Two things. And this is probably not something you all need to worry about. And I'd like to get together with some of the merchants down there. You have the Donaway parking lot. You know, if it were me, I would ask him if we could use, you know, ask Bill out and if we could use that, like if I was in the nest, and set up a bunch of stuff there, or ask anybody that owned this parking lot beside the visitor center and just try and bring people down. Because, I mean, I know Lisa was there last year. There's a lot of people that come in town for this. The town's packed.
It's amazing.
You wouldn't think it, but...
It's amazing.
It's particularly this year.
Yeah, I mean, it just... I don't know why they come every year other than, I mean, Errol, you know, it's been going on for 60 years.
I don't miss it.
It's just something people plan their vacations around.
It started in the early 70s.
You know, I thought so too, but I was talking to Mom, and she said she remembers when Dad was working at the Exchange and Savings Bank and called her, and she said, we were all little, and I'm 55, so.
Wow.
Said, John Howard. Yeah. So, you know, that it, he was like, John Howard's got stuff in the street. Come on down. So it's been going on 50.
Are you
going
to talk to Bill on the out?
Yeah, I want to get all the merchants together. Because I'd rather more people do it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They need to... Yep. Something down there to continue to try to
pull people
pull
down.
Guests down that way.
And here's the thing: if it's anticipated being approved tonight, if you do need that extra space, then just come back and ask for an amendment to the.
Okay, we will.
And that way, you know, you know what you got, and you can make that judgment as if it would be in the best interest of the town and the overall event.
Right.
But I do like the idea of keeping the cross street. It just simplifies life.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And she doesn't cut off the parking lot down the end either. It starts at Toy Town, so they can go to Worcester Youth and Mr. the Tex-Mex and get in that parking lot, which is good too.
Great. Great.
Are you finding more merchants participating or about the same?
About the same as in prior years, but we have so many more. And the thing you've got to think about, too, is a lot of the stores are new. So you don't have that much to put out until you've been there 3, 4, 5 years. And that the bad choices you bought, you know.
The things that didn't sell.
I mean, yeah, you know, until you're ready to put them out. So I think once people have been here, I know I talked to sisters, and they've got even more to put out this year than they did maybe last year, the year before.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the Berlin sidewalk sale for Friday, August 8th from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Saturday, August 9th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Very good. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I have a lot of mistakes.
No, you haven't been too many lately.
Something we've done in the previous couple of meetings. We have down to about 3 or 4 people who are going to be sworn in to the recent appointment or reappointment to a town board or commission. And I believe we have it here. We have Leslie Gebhardt, Natasha Brittingham, and Loretta Cardell. Yep. I think
here? Where?
You did. Right down. We'll come down and visit.
Did you have to?
Yeah.
Natasha got her feet wet at that last planning zone. I don't know if that poor girl wanted to stay up there at night.
Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to say on behalf of the mayor and council and the citizens of Berlin how much we appreciate either your past service or the service you're about to render on behalf of, helping the town and meet challenges and also to deal with opportunities, some which are unexpected. Certainly the challenges are almost always unexpected. But we were swearing in, used to be done, faded away for some reason, and we brought it back because we want the citizens of the town to be aware that there are so many individuals who make the boards and commissions work, and every one of you volunteer your time. And we know that, you know, regardless of any particular vote or any particular issue that's up, that you're entire motivation is simply to help the town and to do what's best for the greater community. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to have each one of you say your name individually and the board or commission that you're being appointed to.
Housing Board of Review.
Jeff Ricks, Housing Board.
Leslie Gephardt, where's my cue?
Housing Board of Review.
Housing Board of Review. Natasha Birmingham, planning
zone. Planning zone, that's correct.
Loretta Brown Burdell, Park Commission.
Park Commission. And Mrs. Burdell is re-upping for another term, and we appreciate that. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read the oath after I say aye to say your name. And I do swear and affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And that I will be faithful.
And that I will be faithful.
And bear true allegiance to the state of Maryland.
And bear true allegiance to the state of Maryland.
And support the Constitution and laws thereof.
And support the Constitution and laws thereof.
And that I will.
And that I will.
To the best of my skill and judgment.
To the best of my skill and judgment.
Diligently and faithfully.
Diligently and faithfully.
Without partiality or prejudice.
Without partiality or prejudice.
Serve as a member of the town of Berlin.
Serve as a member of the town of Berlin.
Jeffers.
Housing Board of Review.
Housing Board of Review.
Planning Zone.
Thank you. According to the Constitution and laws of the state.
According to the Constitution and laws of the state.
Congratulations. And again, on behalf of all the citizens of the town and the mayor and council, thank you so much. And we hope that you find this a rewarding experience. Yes. And we have great confidence in your judgment and your caring for the community. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Item on our agenda. And Chair, you could get everybody to sign.
Yes. Yeah, we're doing that right now.
Two more things.
And these all, in case I assume everybody knows, these are all volunteer positions. The only compensation is the reward of doing the job. Our third item on the agenda tonight is a request for a special event for the 229th Army Band Concert.
I'm filling in for Mary Baldwin.
Okay.
And Mike Wiley. This is kind of a holdover from the last meeting where you approved the ice cream truck for this. We thought that we needed to just reserve the park with Sharon, but then we saw we needed some services, so here it is.
Okay.
The request to hold the event is 229th Army Band Concert. We're going to supply them with chairs, electric, get some trash cans.
Okay, so fairly straightforward.
Straightforward, it's in the park, in the bandstand area.
Okay. And it's from 6 to 7:30.
Yes.
So will the band, let's anticipate the worst case scenario and there's a light drizzle or something and it's not new lighting or anything like that.
This is the only night they can be here.
I'm saying, but
the bandstand's on the cover.
So will the band
band will be there. I don't know.
We'd rather invite cousins up to them.
Depends on how light that drizzle is.
Yeah, makes sense. I just wanted to know.
It won't rain.
Michael, they guarantee.
I guarantee. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. But, does anyone have any questions for Michael regarding the only band concert? Yes, please.
Okay, I make a motion that we approve the request.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve the 229th Army Band Concert at Stephen Decatur Park for Tuesday, July 15th from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Now we got disagreement. At least one. Next is number four. It's an introduction of ordinance 2014-02, a public hearing to be held on July 14th, which is our next meeting. But it's 3 weeks away. And it's an ordinance amending Chapter 12, which is the ordinance which covers town elections.
Yeah, this issue came up last week. When Mary called me, and she had attended, of course, the MML conference, and they were talking about campaign finance reports being filed in municipal elections, and she realized that our code did not provide that. So we're adding this section, which requires any candidate or committee supporting a candidate that's required to register with the town pursuant to our election code to file a campaign finance report within 10 days after.
And I don't know of any other elections where you don't want, this is not automatic.
Yes.
So, I'm sure there's no problem. Does anyone have any questions regarding this? Basically, it is a form that shows how much money you raised.
And from who?
And how it came from and what you did with it. Because obviously you're not supposed to raise money for an election in the crowd.
It's a church party.
Have a party. Yeah. Now you can have a fundraiser, and hopefully it'll be fun. But it does. It's basically to protect the donors more than anyone, and also to make it transparent as to where your financial contributions are coming from. I don't think the Koch brothers.
I don't think they've ever donated to any. Not yet.
This is just the first reading, right?
This is the first reading. Public hearing will be next meeting.
Yeah. But I just want to explain why.
Well, I understand that the only part of this that's applicable is part six.
That's the only change.
That's the only thing you have to fill out.
I don't know about the form. I didn't create that. Mary did, or the state of Maryland did.
Yeah. Yeah, the state probably. Yeah,
this is the first time I've seen it.
And it says that subsection 6 be added to chapter 12. And subsection 6 is just this back page.
That is the front page.
I'm talking about what you have to fill out.
Yeah, the last page is subsection 6. Part, we call it part.
We're amending, we're adding subsection 6 to the existing code.
To our code.
Right.
And so this stuff doesn't really, I didn't see where this part of entity type, report type, file or information, business with the state. I guess I was just a little confused about what all these pages were.
This is the first time I've seen them. I have that chance to read
them. It just seems to me this is all. The six in this part is the instructions for this. But these two can seem applicable.
I think would you just give Mary the heads up so she can explain in detail how all the pages work and coordinated?
Yeah, my reading is you need the first page language in your code. There's a reference within that language to a campaign finance report. My understanding is that what you have attached is the campaign finance report, which needs to be submitted. But I'll make sure we get that all clarified.
Yeah. And also, I think, some sort of set of instructions for whoever files so that they, that at least states the obvious, and then they can ask questions beyond that. We should certainly should make it as easy as possible for people to work in public office.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, and so again, this is, of course, available at Town Hall, and will we have a copy of the website?
Yeah.
Okay. And the public hearing will be at our next regular session meeting on July 14th. All right. Next is item number five, introduction of ordinance 2014-03. Public hearing to be held, again, next meeting, July 14th. And this is an ordinance amending Chapter 26, which establishes a stormwater fee credit policy. You want to take the lead on this?
Sure. This ordinance proposes a credit only for owners of property designated for non-residential, non-profit use. Essentially, the way that the ordinance works is you would be able to, if you are a non-residential, non-profit property owner, you'd be entitled to a credit in your stormwater utility fee if you meet certain conditions. One would be if you took an existing stormwater system, which was set to current standard, and enhanced it above what the current standard is, you'd be entitled to a credit under that scenario. Second scenario is if you have on your property an older version of a stormwater system that's not set to current standards, and you want to retrofit it to enhance it, that would also entitle you to a credit under certain circumstances within the ordinance. I could go into more detail if you'd like.
Well, the key thing is that all this would have to be approved by our by the town, which in reality means that our stormwater engineer, who that we contract with, would make sure that the enhancements truly were truly beneficial, and that the maximum credit you can earn, variety of ways you can do it, but the maximum credit you can earn is 50% reduction in your stormwater, annual stormwater fee.
That's
right. But so it doesn't go completely away, but you can reduce it by less than 50%, but you can, the maximum you can reduce the fee is 50% of what you're currently paying. And what would happen is people that have property, or organizations that have non-residential, non-profit property, would have up until, I think it's May of each year, to submit, get approval for what they want to get done, and then once it's accomplished, the credit will be applied in the next fiscal year, which means if you get approval and you get work done, let's say between May and July or late June, the credit will go automatically along. It took you a little bit longer, then you may have credit may take a little longer to go through, but basically you would know ahead of time exactly how much your stormwater credit would be. And the idea here is to be an incentive in two ways. One is to reduce the cost to nonprofits for their stormwater fee, which is something we said back when we were doing all the ordinance that created this utility. And we probably got, had the time to get this put together. And the other thing is that we obviously, don't expect many people going to run out and suddenly make all these improvements. But there's not a stormwater system out there that in time won't need it. Or won't need some major maintenance. And what this will do is give nonprofit organizations an incentive, a financial incentive, to make those improvements and over time continually improve the stormwater system as a whole in the community. Does anybody have any questions or comments? This isn't for
new systems, because they have to build to the new standards. This is just to encourage people to take their old systems and bring them up to current standards. And
that's right. It's a very good point, because if something is being built new, then it has to meet the standards to get
But if they take that in years later, retrofit that, then they would be eligible for the new credit.
That's correct. If they take something that's set to current standards and make it even better, then they're entitled to a credit under this.
And it's all transparent the way it's set up, because they have to get permitting and so forth to do these changes, so they know right ahead what they're spending and what their credit's going to be.
And the thing is, we'll make sure you're clear, everyone understands. You don't go out and make some improvements and walk in and say, oh, I want my credit. The world doesn't work that way anymore, and it never did. And basically, you have a plan. It would be just like any other improvement you make to your property. You would bring in planning and zoning, and they would go through the process of reviewing it and making sure that everybody knows up front what to expect and what the result will be and what the financial benefit will be.
I just have a question. On page three, part D, the start of the last sentence in that section, it says, as-built engineering plan shall be prepared by a Maryland professional engineer. I couldn't use an engineer from Delaware or Virginia.
Darla, is there any limitation on making that more flexible under Maryland?
We'll have to have a Maryland engineer.
To if you're going to sign, it has to be Maryland.
It has to be a Maryland engineer.
Well, they have to have a license active in Maryland. Most engineers in the area have reciprocity for Maryland, Delaware, Virginia. But if you are practicing engineering in that state and
you have a license in there,
and you're trying to seal, you have to have a license active in that state.
So you go to a Maryland licensed engineer.
Yeah, we're a licensed engineer.
Okay, why don't we just revise that wording?
Sure.
It's in the line. Thank you. Thank you for all of that. Any other questions or comments from the council at this point? All right. So that, again, we'll give the public hearing on that proposed ordinance at the next meeting. Item number six is an approval of contract for Carter's Computers. They're the folks that basically maintain and monitor and basically do all things computer-wise for the town.
Yeah, I'm taking that too with Mary out. What you have in front of you is the same contract we had as last year. We've asked the town attorney to review it. He's reviewed it and approved it. It's an annual contract, and there's no rate change in this agreement.
That's under 5.0, right?
Yep.
Where your membership is $1,950 a month. That's the key.
Yep, no rate change in the
front. No rate change is as good as it's going to get. And as far as, would it be a fair statement to say that that all the departments feel that they're getting very good service and timely service?
I think for the most part, the departments are happy with the service we're receiving by cars. The contract we've had with them, I think, is going into its fifth or sixth year. One thing we've talked about is potentially looking to go out to bid sometime in the next couple of years. It's a good general practice to go out and take your contracts out to bid every 5 to 7 years.
Make sure you're competitive.
Yeah. But overall, we wouldn't be looking at renewing this contract if we didn't think that we were happy with the service.
And this is this whole contract is exactly a duplicate of last year.
That's my understanding, yeah.
Make a motion that we approve the Carter Computer contract.
Okay, we have a
this year.
For the next fiscal year, which begins July 1. We have a motion to approve the contract for services for Carter's Computers for fiscal 15, and which comes to a monthly amount of $1,950 per month. And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Next is approval of contract for Worcester Youth and Family Counseling Services. This also has been in place
about 4 years, I think. Third?
Yeah, third year.
And we also have folks from Worcester Youth and Family who want to come and give a
presentation. And although again,
hello, I'm Steve Taylor, Director of Worcester Youth and Family. I want to thank you for having us in tonight, and thank you for considering our contract again. Melanie Windsor is the Program Director, and she's going to give you some information about the program. And we have a great intern with us this summer, Maria Cusmana, who's doing an excellent job. She's very energetic and always asking, what can I do next? The kind of employee you'd love to have.
Maria?
Maria, right. Right. So when you see her walking the streets, be sure to say hi to Maria. So I'm going to hand it over to Melanie. And
she'll sit down.
Do you have any questions for me? Maria?
No, you missed me. I'm back.
Yes, we did.
I'm back.
She's had a baby. Mm-hmm.
I thought you looked a little skinnier. Just a little bit. I have my typical slideshow, again, just to kind of go over what we've done since the last time someone was here. It was Cindy. She filled in for me wonderfully. And Steve. And Sharon, can you get it to come up? Is it going to come up? Okay. And then I'll do a little brief talk about what we're doing for the summer. We had I Have a Dream Day on one of the days off from school where the kids came in their pajamas and it was kind of like a it was a Martin Luther King dream theme to it also, but then some winter activities. So you can just kind of scroll. So you can just see they had some other interests and they made dream boxes where they wrote what they wanted to be and what their dreams were, and they kept them in the boxes and decorated them. My dream is to make everyone safe. Breaks my heart. And just played a game where they dressed each other up like snowmen. They also went to the circus in Salisbury. Typical, circus photos. We're interested in all these props now. They like to have pictures taken, so that's part of what we're doing. We also participated in the Coolest Town Party Parade, and we also had activities out on the street. So these were, we actually had our Sages Girls, the Teenage Girls program that I talk about a lot. They volunteered to come out and face paint, and we also had different things for sale and had different activities that were free. What should we make them up? A little over $600 just face painting. That's the most we've ever made from that. So that just goes to show how many people were here because we were cranking them through those chairs. It was wonderful. And the girls, we split the money, so the girls got half of the proceeds and our program did too, so that was great. And we also promoted the Pirate Party, which was our fundraiser, our large fundraiser for our CASA program, which is court-appointed special advocates for foster care children.
I know it was your most successful.
Yeah, to drop another figure on you. I think last year we made about $18,000. This year we made $30,000. Blew us away. Yeah, it was fantastic. A lot of hard work, but that was great. Yeah.
No, I think also shows the reputation is becoming much more well-known as the greater
with some very generous pirates. Lisa was a pirate. We had lots of pirates. More pirates this year than ever, more sponsors
that
than ever.
That was a donation of
$30,000.
Oh, it wasn't
all. It was great support in the community.
It was really
very
nice.
Important for
And thank you to Sunset Girls, because they let us have it there every year. We actually had some other I didn't have pictures of that we participated in. We had Spring Celebration where we provided materials to make hats for the parade, and we also donated and helped hide eggs at the Head Start egg hunt like we do each year. This we actually had last week. I thought instead of calling it Bring a Friend, we call it Bring a Neighbor because we try and stay within the town of Berlin. I saw kids I hadn't seen in a while, and it was a luau theme, and I think they had a lot of fun. More pictures. These are our demographics for the past quarter. Pretty typical, pretty standard of what we typically have. 50% African American, 37% Caucasian, and 13% Hispanic. And this is Steve's apartment.
Yeah, we just want to show to you that the Berlin Youth Camp is more than what the town gets. So Worcester Youth and Family is kicking in almost $23,000 to run the program, and we thought it was important to mention that it's not just coming from the town, there are other supporters as well. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about Worcester Youth and family money, it's not really our money, it's community money. So that support is coming from a variety of sources.
So in the next few months coming up, obviously it's summer and it's in full swing, we had a kickoff picnic at Assateague on Thursday. And this is also worth mentioning. We got a little over $5,000 grant from Assateague, from the National Trust. They contacted us, again, I'm blown away, to participate in some of their programming, but also to provide additional programming that we are offering. Yoga on the beach at Assateague, and yoga mats for all the kids. And they're providing funding for two separate parties for us, the beginning and the end. They're giving us money to send the families and the kids all together out on one of those cruises, the ones when they get in with the critters and all that stuff. I'm leaving some things out, but that's just some details. But we are very, very thankful to them. And Jay Johnstone was our contact at Assateague, so if anybody knows him, he's a fantastic guy. So we had that on Thursday, and if you remember, Thursday was the night it was supposed to pour buckets. It didn't, but we were able to have it inside, and we still had about 60-plus people, which was really good. I mean, really, family members, kids, extended family. It was nice to be able to provide that. And now we're just into our typical programming. Some special partnerships this year. 4-H is going to be offering a cooking with the family activity where the kids will cook a meal and then we'll actually have all the families come in and eat it within our Ray community building. And they're also going to provide a robotics, a couple days worth of robotics training with Legos. It's called LegoBots. The kids are really excited about that. We are going to make, they don't know this yet, but we are making, we try and do service threads through everything that we do. So we bought a big Nerf Super Soaker gun, and we try to entice the children to bring different items that we can put into chemo care packages for the Women Supporting Women group. So every time they bring an item, they get to put their name in the bucket, and then eventually, after so long, we'll pull one out of the bucket. So just different types of programs, you know, themes. We're doing swimming lessons again. We also have a partnership with the Ocean City Arts Center, Center for the Arts, which I'm very thankful to Rena because she's going to possibly let us come in and even like work with clay and do things there. And they've offered art scholarships for any children who can't afford them and their families can't afford them on our own. So I'm trying to target some kids that I think would really benefit from that. And again, just trying to keep up with our family events. We'll have our daily events for the kids, but I really like to have the families come at night. So I've kind of picked up food is one of the things that brings them in, but there's other things. So, but like I said, mentioned the Assateague boat cruise and the cookouts. And Deputy Dale Trotter, who is a sheriff in the county, he has offered to come and do a self-defense, maybe like a mothers and kids type theme. So we're thinking about maybe doing that at night and trying to get some food donated. So just some different things, but so along the same lines of everything that we usually do. And like we introduced Maria, she's from Auburn University, and she is very helpful, and she'll be here through July. We also got the grant program from the tech school that they've sent us, a high school student, a recent graduate, and she is at no cost to us. They pay her wage, which is fantastic. I'm happy to say this. This is one of my favorite things all summer. Kamisha, who is a student, she's going into her sophomore year, but she skipped the year, so she's a little bit, you know, Kamisha, Justice, Linda's daughter. She was in our program for 2 years until she aged out. Last year she was a volunteer, and this year we were able to offer her one of the internships with your funding that you gave us. So I'm very thankful, and I know that's going to be a big help to her and to her family. So she came today, so it was her birthday, so it was really exciting. And then we have old faithful Calvin, so I think we're going to have him. We're going to, probably not him, have him as much in the beginning, because I have a lot of help in the beginning, but we're going to run him ragged probably in August, so that's our plan. So
you still participate in the second Friday night art stroll, right?
We do some things. That's some of the things that I'm thinking about doing, some of these family nights along those lines, those same nights. There's a lot of people in town, and they like to just, you know, bring their kids in, so it's helpful. That's when we did the luau night, so. We coordinated it with that, so.
How did you find out actually what's going on at one time?
We've posted everything on our website and our Facebook
page. Okay.
We also have it in the office, and I didn't bring June calendar because, as you can see, there's only 1 week. But I am going to bring my Julys. I usually leave them downstairs. And we just got rack cards made with our information and some photos, and I'm going to bring some of those downstairs. So these are nice and colorful, so these will pop.
And where are you distributing the rack cards?
I'm going to take them to different, you know, festivals and fairs and things that we go to. We have them in our office, and there's some merchants in town that have offered to take some. Okay, great.
Lobby.
In their big rack.
Yeah, I would just say, with what you have, mm-hmm. cast a wide net.
Oh, yeah.
You never know where.
Yeah, we got plenty. It is funny. You never know where you're going to find another kid, but they keep coming, so.
That's good.
Yeah, we don't have any shortage of numbers. That's
the best referral is word of mouth, though. So tell your family and friends and have them pass the word.
Yeah.
Just call our office. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Great. And you had new kids. I noticed there was a lot of new faces
we did.
Coming in. It looks like today there was more kids.
Yeah, there were. There's each time I see some new ones, so that's good. And they don't even know me, and they just come in, and I'm like, hi. We bring them all in, so it's nice that they feel comfortable. So we're thankful. I probably have about 4 or 5 new ones already, and we're only our first week, so that's good. That's a good sign. So.
Hey, well, one thing, I'm very, very pleased that since the very beginning of this partnership, that one of the key things that you were, I think, cultivating is the idea of community service. And take youngsters at a very impressionable time in their life, and many of them who've had limited opportunities, others, you know, just plain old average kids, but introducing this idea of helping the community, helping others, and in both personal ways and in a more general respect. Like events, I think that's very important because I don't think citizenship comes from
a lesser
the sky. Mm-hmm. It comes from being taught and participating and having other people show good examples of how to be a productive and helpful citizen. And I think also the joy that they get from helping people. Mm-hmm. That seals the deal.
They do.
So I just want to tell you that among all the wonderful things you're doing, that's very important because all these young people, the grown-ups have asked that we're going to be depending on them to take the community to new heights that we can't even probably conceive of now. And I think the other thing too is it's my impression. And I thank you for coming throughout the year, because it would be more than we can deal with it one night. And it's nice, it kind of keeps us up on what's happening and what's going on. But I think the idea that you are involving people in this program is expanding the family of Berlin. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that there's the traditional family, mm-hmm. and the people we're related to by marriage or blood or whatever, but then the greater family. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that I definitely feel you all are doing is kind of expanding that idea of the family is caring for other people, regardless of who they are. And then ultimately, there are no unimportant people in our community. Mm-hmm. So we thank you.
Can I make the motion then to approve the contract for Worcester Youth and Family Counseling Services?
Certainly. I have a motion by Council Member Hall to
for fiscal year
continue the agreement to help support the youth program. The monthly amount is $2,000 a month, or $24,000 plus approved expenses, which are submitted quarterly.
Quarterly.
Mm-hmm. So, all in favor of renewing the agreement, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All in favor. Congratulations.
Thank you. Where does it say approved?
No.
And is there any limit?
Yeah, there is.
On D, research funding, or that would.
There is a limit, because I've never talked about that before.
Let me look for a second.
If you can. Because I think our intent is to basically do what we did last year.
Right. Well, I don't see anything specific within the agreement. My understanding is what the mayor and council have done historically is reviewed expenses from the student and family, and then if they're acceptable to you, you can approve them up to some certain amount, $8,000 a year is my understanding of typically that. So it may not be something in this contract that's technically it's a separate process that you run through, and what we would be doing at the beginning of the fiscal year is setting up the purchase order for those other expenses that you review and approve on the purchase.
I think the language you're looking for is in the purchase order itself,
right.
Not in the contracts that you spent.
If you just scan one and PDF to everybody, that way you all know exactly. I think it's our intent to do exactly what you've been doing, and hopefully see the program just continue to grow and prosper. Okay, so we have a motion by Councilmember Hall. So all in favor of renewing the agreement, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Congratulations.
Thank
Best
you.
Best of luck to you, Maria. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll see you soon.
We will.
Come see us.
Thank you all very much.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
Next we have the departmental reports. First we're going to start with Finance Director Natalie Saleh.
Good evening, Council. We are working on year-end flows and procedures, basically trying to make sure that all accounts are consolidated before we roll the year, which will happen, of course, June 30th. And unfortunately, we're not receiving a great support from Logix. I have experienced today a whole day delayed by submitting the technical support tickets, and we're taking a very long time to get that to us. But on the hopeful side, I attended Maryland Jacobway with Randall Weiss, and we have reached out to three vendors that are somewhat nearby locations, New Jersey and Pennsylvania, that would be interested to give us a demo presentation on a financial and billing software available for us to purchase. So I will schedule next demo presentation, and I will send email to Council Member Imbrell, who attended our last presentation, to.
So basically what you're saying is that when the vendors are here to make their presentation, council members will be given as much advance notice as available and are welcome to.
Right.
To not only show up, but ask questions and grill them or whatever they want to do.
And I would strongly encourage, just like last presentation we have together, Council Member DeBarrell brought several questions that actually I'm thinking from financial standpoint, but he's thinking more about outside of the box from customer standpoint.
Right.
So it's really helpful to have that incorporated together. I have carpet samples in my office, and Jeff Fleetwood reached out to Carpet One of Ocean City to be our installer carpet provider for the whole building and planning and zoning building as well. So I would like, what I'm doing is basically they're sitting on my floor, and I'm asking everybody to stop by at lunch or after work to go through and pick the best selection, the best favorable ones, and then we will narrow to one. So if you please stop by any of your time today, tomorrow, or any of the day by the end of the week, so we can pick one that we like the best, and then we will order it and start the
So you're basically doing it through a democratic elected process,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But for those who finalists or whatever.
I just would like everybody having participation in the meeting, so sure. Just be invited.
Where did you say the samples were?
They're in my office. So if you would like to stop by. That's all I have.
And they've started painting in the public areas downstairs. It's really looking nice. And Carolyn's painting for us, right?
Yes. And she's doing a great job. I'm amazed she does not take the walls. She just gives
she can cut the line.
And cut the line on Deer Street. So when this project finished downstairs for customer service, I will take some pictures and I will show before and after. I know.
That's looking really nice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
The carpet's just going to be a big improvement.
Yes. Thank you.
Hopefully no one will trip for a while. Great, thank you. Next is Water Resources Director, Public Works Director, Jane Ryder.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. If you haven't had an opportunity to drive down Flower Street and see the progress on the renovations at Henry Park, I've brought some pictures. Here's before, where the railroad ties were either missing or falling off or just rotten. Here was the beginning of the excavation, taking the railroad ties out and then compacting the base. The hardest part was getting the first layer perfect. And this is, we're not quite done yet, but that's, the wall is pretty much up as we speak right now.
It's going to be three levels.
It's actually five, but there's one that's right below. You can't see it.
Right.
But then at this end here, you can see that there's four above the.
So they're coming back with another course on the top.
Yeah, well, there are two here on this picture, but you can't see it.
That looks really nice, Jane.
Thanks. It's been a learning experience for all of us, but a good one. We started off doing landscaping whenever we have a water leak or a sewer leak, but this is our first experience doing this. So that we still have a lot of work to do in the bed itself because the plants are overgrown. There's a lot of weeds.
And those yuccas are fun to deal with.
They are. There's some hawthorns in there.
Again, I think it's really neat that, again, Public Works is, again, doing something beyond the normal
scope
of services. And
yes, and actually this is a combined effort, Public Works and Water Resources, that working on it together. So.
And I understand the mayor had a lovely leak near him. They made a mess of his driveway.
And, the leak wasn't even on there, but that's where we found them.
Right.
Yeah. And it was a deep, deep
You were surprised when you got home.
Yes. Fortunately, it didn't turn into the driveway. My car would have been
sinkhole.
Sinkhole. Yeah, and again, the fellas did a wonderful job.
And everybody did a wonderful job.
Thank you. I met with the homeowners on Tripoli Street. I'm still waiting on one person to sign the right entry before we go out for bids. I think that
we're close.
Yeah, we're close. We're very close. We'll be reading meters this week, so we'll be all out and about. There is in purchase order 3521. I just thought I'd give you some background. We're asking Public Works. There are a lot of vacant lots, and every time we go into a vacant lot, the lawnmowers get torn up. So we're trying to keep the worst ones for those areas because they always get torn up. And so that leaves, we're short a lawnmower for the parks and so forth. So we have money left over in the capital outlay under the streets department. And that's where we would like to purchase Kubota 72-inch lawnmower for the parks and the big open areas.
So we'll be leading by example again. We're telling other people to cut the grass, we're going to cut ours first.
Yes.
But Jane, they're giving you a good price. That's
it
a heck of a
state
mower.
Contract.
That's like a $20,000 mower, right?
Yeah, we got a 34% discount.
That's a cutting machine. Contract.
Great. Thank you.
Do you want to
talk about
that? Yeah. 72-inch deck. Yes. At the last meeting, you had suggested that we consider having an open house at the new spray irrigation facility. With a conversation with Laura and I, we came up with the first Wednesday in October, which happens to be October 1st. And unless that doesn't work for any of you, we can always revisit that. But we thought the fall would be the best time for that event. So mark your calendar, save the date.
And is that a Wednesday?
It's a Wednesday, and I imagine it would be somewhere between 12 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
And we're going to invite the public too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Refreshments.
Yes, refreshments.
Fun and clean water.
Sort of like a touch of truck day.
Pardon me?
All that. Like a touch of truck day.
Yes, yeah.
When is election day in October?
15th? No. We moved it up.
Second Tuesday, isn't it?
Second Tuesday. So we're not conflict for the holiday.
Second Tuesday would be the.
What day is the first?
It's Wednesday.
So second Tuesday.
It's the 14th.
October is the 7th. It's the 7th.
What?
It was the first.
It's the 7th.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. And next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. The biggest one, I guess, would be the fans that we installed at Savage Substation for the cooling fans. We installed the electrical feed wires and the control wiring to all the fans and they're fully operational. The two hot days that we had last week, the fans worked perfectly. They kicked on, cooled the oil down in them. It also upgraded the capacity of them from 14.6 megawatts to 21.3 megawatts. So if there's any load added to the town, we have the capability of carrying it.
And is that because the equipment doesn't heat up?
That's correct.
So hot, so it's able to be more efficient?
Yeah, on the side of the transformers, they have these gauges up here that tell you what the temperature is, and especially during the summer months when it's really hot outside, you know, 95, 100 degrees, the coals heat up in them and they don't have the capacity as they would if they were cooled down. So these fans actually, they kick on at 85 degrees and they're really quiet. You can walk out in the lot, you can barely hear them running. And they're doing a good job.
Good.
Second thing we ended up doing is the siren at the fire company, the underground service, burn up from the building to the pole that the siren sits on. So our electrical boring contractor, I had to have them bore a new conduit to run new wire, which we already did that, but I got to meet with the electrician and install the new cable. We're going to kind of work together. He's going to do the inside work in the panel, and then we'll run it up the pole and get their siren back.
Okay, great. Excellent. That's something that's within the next couple weeks? Or?
I would say in the next week.
Yeah, great. Yes. Excellent. Thank you.
And then also we generated Tuesday, June 17th, and Wednesday, June 18th, from 2 to 6 both days, and we hit the peak on both days. So all the engines ran okay. They did great. Then also we've been attending several AMI smart meter presentations along with the Water Department. We have another one tomorrow to attend. On that. And then also our inline disconnects were delivered today. That's those devices that were approved by the council a while back. They came in today. So hopefully we can start installing those. That's about it.
And these, the AMI smart meter conferences, I think we call them?
Presentations.
Presentations.
Different vendors.
Yeah, and that's, again, so you can look at different vendors and see what hopefully will be the most compatible for both departments?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. Thank you.
I just want to say to him, I went by and heard the plant running last week, and it's a nice level of comfort to go by there and know that we're generating and that everything's working correctly and we can handle it and we don't have to worry about.
We did have one device on the number 5 engine that it failed. It was actually from 1988. That's how long it's been operating. It's called the PLC. You'll actually see that in one of the POs, purchase a new one for that. It failed on us, but we were able to bypass it to get the engine to do it, to run up to speed for generation. But we do have to replace it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe Laura could answer me this, or Jenny. So we've already generated twice, which is pretty early in the season, I think, than what we did like last year.
Yes.
And like we have to hit 6 peaks in order to get...
It's a total of 5.
Five. Now, if they call and ask us to generate more, is that to our financial advantage if they need us?
Yes, it's actually the 5 highest peaks. Even though we generated twice, that doesn't necessarily mean it'll be one of the top 5 peaks. Last year, for example, we ran 7 times, and out of those 7 times, we hit the 5 highest peaks. The year prior to that, we ran 13 times to hit 5 peaks.
Gotcha. So, okay.
And we're basically advised by Booth and Associates
to give you
a heads up based on a whole bunch of different factors.
They're actually monitoring 13 states, the entire region. Even though, you know, it might not be, you know, raining or storms here where it's cooling things down further out towards Washington, D.C. or that area, you might be getting storms. So it all
that all plays into the decision about whether to run or not.
Interesting.
I would have to say that we're very fortunate that we've hit the peaks every single year since we
went into that contract.
Because you know, they just have so much more information, and they had a whole department to analyze the conditions and privacy advice. Again, last year that was, I don't know if it's ever going to get any better than that, because it kept our costs to the absolute minimum.
Yes.
But we still get the same benefit. So,
That's great.
Good start, and hopefully we'll have this way. It looks like it's going to be a hot summer, so
yeah.
It looks like it's going to be busy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next is Police Chief Arnold Downing.
Good evening, everyone. As soon as we thought school was over, school has started again. Summer school starts today. And with that, we actually taken on another task of actually making contact with those schools. They do not have the security school deputies for the whole year. So I've already made contact with Buckingham and BIS in regards to that, just offering that little extra level of comfort and security for them. So we're keeping in contact, making sure they have our emergency numbers and we have theirs, and periodic checks at each one of the schools during the summer school season. Last week I had the opportunity to go through the child fatality review, review the fatal accident that occurred late last year. And in that, one thing they commended the town SWIFT, or the community's SWIFT response and the actions and things put in place by the Pedestrian Safety Committee. So again, that's the first thing that they really, after reviewing everything that we did, they said the SWIFT action was very incredible. They were very happy to see that, and they also wanted to go ahead and offer their assistance in the education component. And again, I'm going to be getting up with Patricia in regards to them actually being to the next meeting.
Excellent.
So it's good when some other reviews and other, you know, it seems like you're going in the right direction, but then them to actually offer help also. And that's all I have to report.
Great. Thank you.
Very, very encouraging report all around.
Right. And next is Planning Director Dave Inwart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just have a couple of short things. Since we met last, we had a historic district commission meeting that was continued from the previous Wednesday. For some more information, they approved a banner to hang on the wall of a little bit cheapest that faces the Atlantic Hotel. That was approved for the artist. Mr. Girardi had come before the Historic Commission to request permission for some awnings on the front of Tex-Mex, and he actually changed the plan where he's going to accomplish the same thing coming off the front of the building with metal standing seam roofing on columns and showing examples of Main Street and adjoining properties. The Historic Commission thought that looked a lot better. And
okay.
It's more permanent for him. He's trying to shade and protect that area. He's lost a heck of a lot of umbrellas, according to him, already. And he thinks it just would help in the heat of the summer and in the rain. And his concern with the awnings was he'd be dumping water on the pedestrians on the sidewalk. With the metal roofing, he can gutter the front of it and not be dumping water and ice in the winter on the sidewalk. So that was a good thought of his. So that's the way they approved it.
Great.
The same evening, we had a Planning Commission meeting. It was long for one of their meetings. I want to thank Councilmember Hall for attending and trying to assist us. They continued with the talks on the commercial design standards that, you know, I think we need, and I've been trying to get them to move on. And Commissioner Cosby agreed to edit the Worcester County design standards to perhaps move forward where we could get to a resolution where you might adopt it in its entirety with certain sections deleted. And then we could update it as we went to fine-tune it. So that's the first stage of it. He said he would edit, begin the edits.
To respect me, something this summer to make progress.
I would hope so. I would like that. I really would.
And again, we'll just try to be encouraging and tell them.
I think that would dovetail with projects we have coming that are
down the pipe. And then he's also going to incorporate the comprehensive plan thing.
Right.
That needs to be put in there, too.
Yeah, you have to mix the two, make them dovetail.
Yeah, so, that's great.
But that was the first real, I thought, it was a good conversation. It was back and forth. They came pretty close to a motion to do it as that, but then they wanted to edit the Worcester County standards. There's some disagreement whether they're too harsh or they're too easy, and they were kind of split on that issue, I think. So we'll see where we go with that. But
great.
That was the biggest thing. Out at the old Ames Plaza, the Tractor Supply Project is moving along. I'm sure you've noticed that. And last weekend, this week, there's a new tenant to be going in there called Fireplace Supply. They came to me with some sign designs and sizes. So they're filling out that plaza. We'll have a new look there. It won't look so empty, I guess. So that's all I have.
Great. Thanks. Very good. Thank you. Next is Economic and Community Development Director Michael Day.
You've got some coasters in front of you. Sorry there are no drinks to go along with. We received about 12,000 of these today from State Highway. Megan is going to be distributing them to all the restaurants, places that serve adult beverages, so that they'll be out downtown for everybody to use and take notice of with the Smart Walk program. I think the mayor told me we're only the second town to receive these from State Highway.
We got our own website, walksmart.com.
They'll be out and about tomorrow. Megan's going to start taking those out. Tomorrow night is a merchant meeting, and it's going to be held in the visitor center. We're starting to have more meetings down there. There'll be another one in July. It's the Main Street annual meeting. Will be down there. You all get. I think you just got an invite to that.
What is the date for that?
That's July the 8th. I believe.
It's the orange card.
Yeah, the orange card.
Oh. Got.
That'd be in the visitor center as well. Also be attending Wednesday, the Low Eastern Shore Heritage Council meeting. July the 9th, Lisa Challenger, Megan, and myself will be going to Milford for the Tourism Arts and Downtown Development. I think I mentioned this before, but I'd like to tout it. This is a group of all the Main Streets and Art and Entertainment communities in Maryland and Delaware, and this is the only Main Street organization that crosses state lines and works together in the country. We're the only one in the country doing this. We had a national Main Street person at our last meeting, and she was quite impressed with this whole thing that we're doing, and we'll probably be getting an article in the Main Street news magazine.
And what communities is it involved
in? Well, it's the 11 Main Street and Art and Entertainment communities in Maryland. And then Delaware has a different criteria. There's about six Rehoboth, Milford, Milton, six Delaware towns that have joined. We've pulled this together. And so now we're crossing state lines and working together.
Yeah, I think that makes so much sense. So much sense. And again, this idea of partnership and reciprocating and promoting each other, and especially when those six towns are literally in our backyard.
Yeah, that's what we always felt. We started out, they didn't. State did not want us to do this. They wanted to contain, but as we've progressed, we've been in probably 5 years now. We've been organized as Tourism Arts and Downtown Development. We've progressed into that and said, "Fooey on you, we're going to do it anyway." It's been quite sick. Now the state is touting us as being doing this.
That's often the case when you. Excellent. But I think it's a wonderful example of exactly a lot of the other things that are working for the town. It's getting good partners and not expecting any one partner to do it.
Right. And what we're doing now, I think we're going to finalize it this meeting. With this many towns, we're going to do an app, but Eat, Drink, and Buy Art app. And it's going to be like $200 or $300 per town because of so many partnering in on this. It's going to be very inexpensive compared to when we looked at doing it ourselves at $5,000-$6,000.
That's great.
So now it's really. And Lisa Challenger has taken the lead on this and has been plowing through it, and we should be making some announcements pretty soon about this.
Excellent. That's great.
Thank you.
Next, we have the town administrator's report.
Before you have a list of purchase orders, I'll go ahead and run through them for your consideration. We've got purchase order number 3268 in the amount of $1,196.30 to Worcester County for sludge disposal. Purchase order number 3250 in the amount of $1,495 to EnviroCorp for monitoring of wells at Lee Road in the month of May. Purchase order to be determined, request for fiscal year 15 in the amount of $18,200 monthly to Fort Whaley Sign Company for billboard sign. Purchase order number 3474 in the amount of $1,820 to East Coast Underground for boring conduit to fire company for siren repair to be built to fire company. Purchase order number 2893 in the amount of $3,760.23. It was to Youth and Family Council for expenses for fourth quarter and then spent from third quarter. Purchase order number 3511 in the amount of $1,698.08 to the Daily Times for advertisement of Berlin's annual drinking water quality report, which is required by NTE. Purchase order number 3521 in the amount of $12,500 to Security Equipment Company for Kubota mower with 72-inch state contract discount of 34%. Purchase order number 3519 in the amount of $5,456.62 to David Alver for the replacement of tile flooring at 113 Schofield Street. Purchase order number 3520 in the amount of $7,955 to Hancock Gate Operator Systems for pedestrian gate, keypad, and safety loop at 113 Schofield Street. Purchase order number 3527 in the amount of $1,500 to LLL Construction for replacement of gutter at 113 Schofield Street. Purchase order number 3532 in the amount of $1,847.47 to Special Fleet Services for inline press tool. Purchase order number 3548 in the amount of $29,466.40 to pump up for number 2 low sulfur diesel fuel power plant. Purchase order number 3550 in the amount of $5,000 to DDU Magnetics for associated travel expenses, installation, and programming of the PLC controller for number 5 engine and power plant. Purchase order number 3565 in the amount of $1,684.82 to Curtis Computers for firewall appliance protection for public works and electric distribution departments. And purchase order number 3568 in the estimated amount of $2,300 to B&G Heating and Air, a new HVAC unit for planning and zoning building emergency repair. Thank you. My report.
Does anyone have any questions for Laura regarding any of the 15 proposed purchase orders?
I was confused by the Worcester Youth and Family Council. I thought it was $2,000 a month.
That's the contract, and then what the council has typically done is authorize a separate set of expenses that come through on a quarterly basis that we generate a purchase order for that you review in detail, and then you approve it.
Okay, so these are for expenses.
These are the expenses. That's what
we usually get itemized.
The $1,700 is the expenses, right? The $2,000 is the regular contract?
Yes.
Right.
Well, the contract is $2,000 a month. The rent says $2,000 per quarter. And I guess I'm confused by the budget, too, because it looks like in the current year we've only budgeted on this line item. I guess we're only budgeting for the expenses here. Where's the $24,000 in the budget?
We have to move this line item up to contracted services from the special appropriations.
All right, so this purchase order is just for expenses?
No, this purchase order consists of $2,000 of a monthly contract, which would be the last month for June.
But and we put it to the 4113, which I think you're telling me is the expenses part.
Shouldn't it be broken into two separate purchase orders?
$2,000 to the contract services.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that make more sense though, if you're the way the budget's set?
Because your contract of services has gone from 26,000 down to 6,000, and your youth programs has gone from 8,050 to 32,000.
Because we moved the contract from contracted services to youth programs. So the Worcester Youth and Family contract sits in the youth programs line item
now. It used to be
in contracted services. Yeah, so 15, when we decided to do this consolidated youth program activity, all in that one line item, taken out of contracted services.
I think that came from the discussion we had a couple months ago about how much money are we dedicating to this particular program, including the contract plus expenses.
Right,
so you're dedicating $32,000,
yeah,
$24,000 and $28,000.
And in that presentation we had earlier, it also reflected just about that same figure.
Okay, it's just different here and then next year.
Yeah. Okay. I like the idea of having things that are going to be recurring, being identified, and professional services where it could be anything, and it could maybe a one-time thing that they don't repeat for years and then there's other things. But this, at least it's my impression, and I didn't get any...
To make the 2 years comparable, you ought to amend FY14.
Well, we get that.
To understand it.
Yeah,
the next person's not going to have a clue.
Yeah, I know, but here's the thing, is that once we get the accounting software that these people deserve and the town certainly needs, I feel much better about changing things more rapidly. Right now, I think the key thing is to have confidence. Right now that we're with Adonis. Motion to approve all 15 purchase orders. We have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve all 15 purchase orders as proposed by the town administrator. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. I have no comments this evening.
I just have a couple questions. For Dave or Arnold, I don't know which one. But if I'm doing a construction job, am I allowed to put a dumpster in the street?
I don't know of anything in the building code that says you can't. I guess it would be public access if you're blocking the roadway, wouldn't it? What would you think of?
Generally speaking, when they do that, they go ahead and they're called beforehand. Again, if you're referencing the one that's on Franklin Avenue, I actually saw that today with the car across from it. Generally speaking, they will go ahead and make contact, and we should actually allow folks to go ahead and put a dumpster in the street. They either put the proper cones and markings to go ahead and to note it, the safety area, and they're going in a period of time. Other than that, and again, that one, it could fit right on the property. You don't generally stay on private property.
I just have a quick thing. I want to go back to Dave and the planning and zoning meeting because I was really excited for that, the design guidelines. And I just feel like, people always ask me, how did Berlin get to where we are today? And I tell them it's not been overnight. It's been a long process. But it's all about people communicating, thinking a little outside of the box. So, we've got a lot of things that are getting ready to go happen in Berlin, the new developments. I mean, they're trying to annex that property across from Stephen Decatur, and that's going to be a whole new part of Berlin. We're eventually going to vote to annex that into our town. And the way I'm looking at that is, to me, that should be a signature development. I don't want to just annex a piece of ground to put into Berlin that doesn't physically, touch us way out there and, just be a tax base or whatever. I want those people that have stores there and live there to have pride, you know, to be part of Berlin, even though they're kind of out there on the cusp and have been brought back into this town. And I just think that these architectural guidelines for commercial are going to be very important for that. I want our guests that come to Berlin, that come down the road, to look over there and go, wow, look what Berlin's done. I want them to look there and put that association that that's Berlin, not just another commercial development, not just another apartment complex. And I just think it's going to be very important, you know, that we look at the guidelines. There was very long discussion up here. Several times a motion was made to adopt the counties, but then more conversation would come up. And I was really happy that they all finally agreed that, you know, we're going to take the counties, we're going to look at them. I've been tasked with Pete. I'm getting them from like Denton, other towns that are kind of apples to apples with Berlin, that are Main Street communities. So that, you know, we don't want to be real restrictive, but yet we want Berlin to look like Berlin. And I just think that all the work that we've done, that to continue is in the future, that we need to have an identification to brand Berlin, and that these guidelines are not trying to make people restrictive, but to take, you know, pride, to continue what we've done. And I don't want to happen, you know, I had a store down at on 611 and the South Point people. That's a really good example. They're kind of down there in South Point. They have a Berlin mailing address, but yet they don't really live in Berlin. They're in South Point down at that tip. Yet the Berlin Fire Company and the Ocean City Fire Company, they have fought for that area to cover it, you know, for ambulance. And it's kind of like they would tell me, we're down here in limbo. I don't know if we're Ocean City, I don't know if we're Berlin, but I don't want that to happen to that new annexation. I want them to have pride that, you know, we are Berlin, you know, and I just think that we also need to ask the community too, you know, what do you want Berlin to look like in 20 years, you know, what's your vision? Well,
remember, that's part of the strategic planning. And,
but, you know, I just think that, you know, it's getting ready to take off now. I think we're going to see some commercial building, and I just want us to be prepared so that we
echo everything you said, and I think what I would ask permission to is to council's permission on behalf of all of us to send a letter to planning and zoning, congratulating them or commending them for beginning this process, but also to emphasize its urgency.
If that's okay.
Yes, and I mean, they took an interest in it and they realized the urgency, but it's like they want to do it right. You know, they're taking some pride in their decisions here.
Here's the thing, too, is I agree. I mean, one of the ways I think that I want to try to promote this in general, because obviously everything we do has to be supported by the community of ours, not every single person, but is that one of the things I think we are beginning to achieve and started to define about 30 years ago with the revitalization of the architectural heritage is I think Berlin, more than most towns, has a very definite sense of place. In many communities, you've got so many different architectural styles. You've got so many things going on. You could be anywhere in USA. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that if we build on what we've got, and that we can achieve exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But it has to be thoughtful. But I also think that the clock is ticking.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate you bringing that up. And, you know, I think we need to promote that sense of place. Unless I have your permission and obviously send a copy, I would like to send them a letter just encouraging them that we're pleased to see this effort underway, that it's exactly the right thing to be doing at the right time. And if you use I don't want to use the phrase all the liberal speed, but when the Supreme Court said that, it only took about 40 years. So I want to come up with something else that basically says, you're on the right track. Let's get it done. Okay, thank you.
Oh, but one other thing. I'm going over to the roller derby in Salisbury because my sister's on the team and Michael's always there. And you know how they advertise this town there? That it's not for old money more. That's what my, that's all I hear on my Berlin's not for old people. And I'm like, is that the message we're sending? We're not for old people anymore.
Well, that's just, it's supposed to be not just for old
people. Yeah, not just
because
for old
at
people.
One time, that was the image. There was no doubt. Clearly, we have so many different
absolutely.
Messages.
We have a lot of young families moving in now, too.
Yeah,
I was glad to see, I noticed last night coming home at Stephen Decatur High School, they're advertising Visit Berlin.
That's a first, isn't it?
Yes, they're actually got it on their real nice billboard, digital billboard there. And I got a question for Dave. Is there any update on the Canterbury Village?
Only, I've been speaking to Mr. Hanson, who had given you the presentation, the principal. The engineering work is progressing to the point where I have to get him a letter about those. There isn't a need for sprinklers in the units, as our ordinance says, and a few other housekeeping items. And I would assume he'd be coming in for permitting. He's been putting together all this work for his investors. If you remember, they were tax credits that will be sold to investors. So I would think he'd be coming in for permitting sometime early August. That's what he's aiming for.
But he has all his money in order, and that's the biggest battle. He's got his financing together.
He sent me a budget, and there's some corrections I have to make to it, showing what the permitting fees, all the fees, all the things he would owe to the town. He had the EDUs off by a little bit. There's some other corrections with footage and things like that. But all the fees in total were in excess of $900,000. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to get all that in order for his investors and then close all at one time. But I think he's still on track. He had said he'd like to be trying to get permits in August or submitting in August. So far he looks like he's still on track.
Yeah. I don't have anything against the project, but I think planning and zoning, when it actually gets them to looking at the project, the entrance.
They put conditions on it.
It's going to be really tough right there.
Yeah, they put conditions on it for buffering from the neighbors, and I assume that's what you're referring
to. Yeah, I'm thinking about school bus time.
And, right, and the actual...
there's so much traffic through there.
Yeah.
And it's a bad exit coming out of there because you can't see.
This is something to be looking forward, though. Who knows, but if that development, Seahawk Road, immediately adjacent to Steve Decatur goes through, one of the conditions of approval is the expanded exit policy on road to US 50 with the condition that the only buses that can go through Flower Street are serving
Flower
students
Street.
On Flower
They're
Street.
They're going to be diverted.
Because it's ridiculous, but we need to offer them a safe alternative. And so, nothing's guaranteed,
right.
But I just want you to keep that in mind that if that development passes all its, criteria, if it meets the potential, I believe it has, that one of the added benefits is it will actually reduce traffic on the Flower Street rather than increase.
Because they've looked at that, and that's where they've
So I want you to be aware that that's very much on all of our minds, because that's our initial discussions, and those initial discussions, I mean, 4 months or something. When one of the first proposals have been made for 15 or 20 years, but I just want you to not forget that, because that's going to be critical to the whole thing.
Give me an idea. The other day, one kid was getting off the bus. One bus stop stopped on Flower Street to that one student off. I counted 20 cars behind that bus. Had to stop and wait for that bus on loop at one student. So that's the kind of traffic that's on Flower Street right now.
But you know what? Traffic is increasing everywhere. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how much traffic's increasing On my street.
In Broad Street.
I can't do anything about the general traffic, and it's not, but I do think we can reduce that bus traffic.
Yes.
To serve the neighborhood.
And then the school board needs to look, too, to see if they could put that one child on another bus, if it would, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They need to look at their buses, too.
I think we're working with this very much, we just got to take it, you know, just keep looking and make sure we keep all of us in mind. Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
Anything? Lloyd? All right, do we have any comments from anyone who's attending tonight? I think we're down to two gentlemen. Thank you, and you have anything to say? Thank you. And do we have any comments or questions from the press? All right, we stand adjourned, and thank you so much for your attendance.